This is an iHeart podcast.
The January 6th footage has been released. We're going to tear apart Bill Gates tonight. What's happening in Argentina? All that, so much more, is coming up on I'm Right. What's the most dangerous thing happening in the world right now? If you've watched for any length of time, you already know the answer to that question. But what is the most dangerous thing happening for you in the world right now? Earthquakes, wars, what is it? Disease? It's none of those things. The most dangerous thing happening on the planet right now is Western governments, not just America's, but Western governments forming up and aiming themselves at their own citizens. Western governments deciding their own citizens are the enemy and using their power and their guns against them. Nothing else comes close to being a danger to you and your children. Nothing else comes close to being an immediate danger to your very way of life and your well-being. Nothing else comes close. I don't care what war is happening here, China there, an earthquake there. If the government you live under has decided you're an enemy of the state, you and your children and their children after them are in very deep trouble. Now, let's begin with what we know. The January 6th tapes just got released courtesy of new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And while we've been critical of Mike Johnson, and I like Mike Johnson, right? We've been critical, and now we're going to be complimentary. That took guts to release the January 6th tapes. You know it took guts to release the January 6th tapes because Kevin McCarthy got that position promising to release them, and then something happened, and he ended up just forgetting about it, I guess. Well, we know why he didn't want them released. We know the system wanted those tapes kept quiet. And we found that out this weekend after we looked at the tapes. What do we see on the tapes? Well, there's a lot to see. A lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of ugly. But there is no question that we saw at least two things. We saw police instigating aggression, not responding to aggression. Instigating aggression for whatever reason. That's one. Two, we saw January 6th protester after January 6th protester being patted on the back, greeted, hands shaken with the cops inside of the Capitol. Just stay with me. We're going to walk through this whole thing kind of reverse chronologically. Okay, so this wasn't Pearl Harbor? So this wasn't as bad as they said it was? Okay. So why are Democrats like Jamie Raskin, why were they so obsessed with keeping this footage quiet?
Beyond the partisan nature of it, it's truly a security risk what they're doing. The reason why the Capitol Police have opposed releasing tens of thousands of hours from every House office building, every Senate office building, every part of the Capitol is because it's like giving a diagram to future insurrectionists and terrorists and anybody who wants to invade our body. So if the Speaker thinks it can be done safely or securely, why doesn't he rely on the Capitol Police to determine what should be given out and what shouldn't be given out? Because that's the principal concern here, which is security.
Okay, well, that's obviously all a lie, all that footage. In fact, those images, they're available on your friggin' phone. Go Google it. You can log at all that stuff. So why is he upset, though? He was upset because he needed that footage kept quiet. Now, why did he need the footage kept quiet? Okay, well, let's examine what has happened in the wake of January 6th. The director of the FBI sat in front of Congress and said this.
That attack, that siege, was criminal behavior, plain and simple, and it's behavior that we, the FBI, view as domestic terrorism. It's got no place in our democracy, and tolerating it would make a mockery of our nation's rule of law.
Okay, we're not a democracy, we're a republic. That's a system talking point. We'll set that aside. He just called it a siege and referenced it as domestic terrorism. A siege. A siege where the cops are patting people on the back. A siege. Okay? Don't worry, we're going somewhere with the why with this. And off of that, they've continued to push narrative after narrative after narrative that you are what? That you are wrong? That you are bad? That you are Republican? That that's bad? No, 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 no. They have not used that language to describe you since January 6th. They have called you repeatedly a domestic terrorist.
Domestic terrorism from white supremacists is the most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland.
White supremacists, right-wing extremists, and domestic terrorists trying to stoke fear in the hearts of New Yorkers.
From a terrorism perspective, I think domestic violent extremism is one of the greatest terrorism-related threats that we face.
In the FBI's view, the top domestic violent extremist threat comes from racially or ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically those who advocated for the superiority of the white race.
I think MAGA and the domestic terror threat is much more worrisome than any foreign threat we could face.
Just making sure you're staying with me here. So January 6th happened. We now know that the government was either directly involved in instigating it or stood aside and allowed it to happen. We know that for a fact. We have the videotapes. But January 6th happened, and then they decided that you're a dangerous domestic terrorist, a siege, a threat to democracy, over and over and over again. Off of that, they've arrested 1,200 people. They've publicly announced their intention to arrest 1,000 more. I do want to point out that four of these people, their names are Jord Meacham, Mark Ungst, Christopher Stanton, Georgia, and Matthew Perna, went on to commit suicide because of the accusations they faced from the January 6th political prosecutions. Okay, so January 6th happened. The government took part in it. Then they said you were a domestic terrorist. Now, why did they do that? Why have they been doing that over and over and over again? Look, we played you a 30-second montage. It could have been an hour long, from FBI agents to politicians to media to everybody. Domestic terrorists, domestic terrorists, domestic terrorists. Why does that language specifically matter? Why is that language important? Well, because if they make you an enemy of the state, if they make you a terrorist, then what it gives them the freedom to do is take all the parts of this government designed to destroy terrorism and aim all of that power and all of those guns directly at you. January 6th happened. They either caused it or allowed it to happen. Then they decided you were a domestic terrorist. They revved up that drumbeat. And ever since then, they have arrested pro-lifers at gunpoint. They have infiltrated your church. Yes, the FBI is in your church, recruiting informants, trying to find out if you had those icky biblical views on marriage and other things. They decided which terrorist threat label to put on angry school board moms. How could they possibly do all these things? Why would the FBI be so crazy? How could the government be this nuts? The government's just conducting anti-terrorism, don't you see? You didn't think they were worried about the border.
So those individuals, that watch list that we talk about, why do you think in 4 years before this there were only 11 and suddenly there are 294 in the past few years? Why do you think that's so?
I can't really speak to, you know, to that issue. It's not in my lane.
Okay. So let's wrap all this up because we have such a great show. We have Carol Roth and Julie Kelly. We have so much, but just stay with me. Sorry to dumb this down, but let's just walk through this together. January 6th is instigated by the government, or in the very least, facilitated. They stood by and allowed it to happen. We know now about the undercover FBI agents. We know about the Capitol Police letting people in, uncuffing them, opening the doors, patting people on the back. We've seen the videotape. It can't be argued. So the federal government caused January 6th. And then step number two was using January 6th as an excuse to turn political opposition to Democrats into being domestic terrorists. Once they've done that, Then they got to use the federal law enforcement arm, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, to attack said domestic terrorists, which happened to be all the enemies of Democrats, and they all happen to be Republicans. So just walking through this little three-step plan, it appears that the federal government ran an op designed to give it the excuse to send FBI agents to your door and put handcuffs on you for voting Republican. That's the kind of country you live in now. That's not some future dystopian, scary America. That's the America you live in and I live in right now. We live in a country where the government will create false flag operations in order to justify arresting you and throwing you in prison for opposing them. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And I am sure Julie Kelly has plenty to say about this and other things next. Just remember what we just talked about, all right? And along those exact same lines, what do you think the IRS is going to do to you if you owe taxes? What do you think they're going to do once they look at your Facebook page? Once they look at your thoughts on freedom, Second Amendment, Joe Biden, things like that? 87,000 new IRS agents aren't there to sharpen pencils. They're there to come after you. If you owe, if you missed a year, you missed five, you missed 10, if you owe 10 grand, if you owe 200 grand, you better get a professional because I promise the professionals are coming for you. Tax Network USA, they're the professionals. They're who we go to. They're who we can trust to get us out of a jam. Don't fight pros by yourself. You don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Tax Network USA does. TaxNetworkUSA.com/Jesse is where you go sign up. Stop stressing. Stop worrying about it. Let the pros handle it for you. All right? We'll be back.
Piece of it, Molly. There's also the fact that just this week you had a Republican congressman peddling conspiracy theories about what actually happened on January 6th, trying to argue that the FBI was involved in January 6th. You take this footage and you put it in the hands of bad actors. Who knows where it goes?
Well, and I think it's a bit weird that Mike Johnson is doing this. He's recently become the Speaker of the House, right? So you have to wonder, is he doing this as like a campaign stunt or is he doing this in his job as Speaker of the House?
Right. This is not.
You know what else is weird? Having that turbo freak on TV analyzing politics. It's amazing to me. There are people who sit down and actually turn on the television and watch that liberal white woman who's an insane person talk to them about politics. Anyway, joining me now, the great Julie Kelly. I don't even know what to pitch for Julie anymore because she does everything now. She's got that book, January 6th. She has a great Substack for Declassified. I don't even know what to say anymore except she's awesome. Julie, I don't know why everyone's so concerned. I want to see the footage of the worst terrorist attack since Pearl Harbor, and I'm glad I got to see it.
Well, first I want to say I'm glad to see that Molly Zhang Fast's transition to a furry is almost complete. It looks like, you know, any day now she's going to be on the MSNBC set with like her little cat dish. So kudos to Molly. Congratulations. Yes, it's just amazing. You know, we're told that we need the truth about January 6th, to your point, the worst terror attack since 9/11. But oddly, when you start seeing video clips like this one, or clips that people were posting over the weekend that contradict the very carefully crafted narrative about January 6th, you have all the right people totally going into meltdown mode. This is a security threat. We're going to have another deadly insurrection, yada, yada, yada. But a lot of Americans are scratching their head, Jesse, saying, well, wait a second. There's cops right there leading people into the building. There's cops in other sections of the building letting people in and fist bumping them. So do you do that with domestic terrorists if you're a police officer? Lot of questions. And of course, this is why they've tried to conceal this footage now for almost 3 years under protective orders.
They did, Julie. And I have a little question, but something that's been nagging at me ever since I saw this footage was released. Kevin McCarthy, when he was voted in as Speaker, from my understanding, and you know you can always correct me if I'm wrong, promised you that those tapes would be released and released to you, and they never were. And then Mike Johnson gets elected Speaker, and 15 minutes later we have the tapes. What was the hold up with the last guy? And please tell me if I spoke out of turn.
No, I will say that, yes, I was given access to quite a bit of footage. I did go to the terminals in Washington at a House Office Building where they are archived, so I could look at whatever I wanted to. So that was very helpful. I will say Kevin McCarthy's team was working to put this footage together and make it publicly available. My understanding from my sources is that there were some very powerful interests in the U.S. Senate who were working with Democrats and Capitol Police to keep all of this footage under wraps. So I'm not sure if that's something that McCarthy was negotiating at the time, but certainly you have to give credit first to Matt Gaetz, who has made this an issue and was one of the reasons why he voted for McCarthy to vacate the chair. But certainly Mike Johnson, who now has pulled the trigger on this first trove. My understanding is it's going to be a rolling production of footage that we will see. The American people are going to continue to be shocked at seeing video that they have not seen for almost 3 years. So this is just the first of the breaking of the dam of the prevailing narrative about January 6th as an insurrection incited by Trump supporters who killed police and destroyed the Capitol building.
Speaking of the breaking of the dam, Gregory Yetman, obviously everybody remembers last week, we were treated with a SWAT team kicking in his door, trashing his house, hunting down this deranged serial killer. Well, if you're part of Julie Kelly's Substack called Declassified, you've seen this video of Gregory Yetman. It does not look like a domestic terrorist assaulting police. Here's the video. What am I looking at there? That doesn't look like a domestic terrorist.
What you're looking at is a man named Gregory Yetman, who is a military police officer for the New Jersey National Guard. He has spent his entire adult life in law enforcement and in the military. What he was doing there, contrary to what the Department of Justice says, is he was attempting to help police. So he took this canister of gas, which had been abandoned by a DC Metro police officer. Keep in mind, by this point, Jesse, police had been assaulting this crowd outside with tear gas and flashbangs and rubber bullets for over an hour. So when this police line broke because they were all injured by friendly fire, they were gassing each other, Gregory Yetman, it appears, picked up this abandoned canister, and instead of pointing it at police, you could see he intentionally arcs the direction of the spray to go towards protesters who were clashing with police officers. He was not attempting to spray police officers. It's patently ludicrous for someone with his background to do that. You can definitely tell he's trying to help the police. So what they accused him of is spraying police, by the way, clad head to toe in riot gear, didn't pose a threat to them, even if he lost his mind for that moment and was trying to gas police. It's very clear he was attempting to help them. He went to Facebook a few days later, Jesse, and in a very lengthy post, he condemned people who were assaulting police officers. He said, we need to back the blue. We have to be the party of law and order. We're no better than those who stole the election. And that is what put Gregory Yetman on DOJ's target list. And that's why he was subjected to an armed raid, total public humiliation, and what looks like a fabricated case against him.
Julie, just as we wrap this up, answer this to me. Are we seeing some sort of a sea change in Washington? I know the low-T GOP is a million miles behind. That's all they know how to do. I get that. But are we starting to see some sort of a sea change there where they're realizing this DOJ, FBI included, are the actual enemy?
I hope so, Jesse. I'm sure you were seeing the same sort of thing I was over the weekend, which is someone like Senator Mike Lee, who really has not said much to this point, publicly questioning the footage that he was seeing. and suggesting that they need to investigate the House Democrats' January 6th committee. So I think that this is such a big issue for the base, Jesse, and this is why thank you so much for covering my work and having me on so frequently, because you know and I know that the base is very upset, not just about the lies that are being told, but the lives that are being destroyed in the process as DOJ continues their armed FBI raids, continues to round people up, and of course go for the ultimate target, which is Donald Trump.
Of course. Yeah, all these people were the appetizer. He is, of course, going to be the main course. It's going to be quite a 2024. Julie, do the best. I'll talk soon. All right. Look, it's just like we just talked about in the opening. We know what the deal is now. They wanted you to be classified as a domestic terrorist. So the something had to happen to help them move that narrative along. And it looks like they made it happen, helped make it happen. Like, I don't know the answer to that or that we'll ever get the total answer to that. But the footage don't lie now, does it? Interesting stuff. All right. Let's talk about the elites. Who are these people? People like Bill Gates. What do they really want? Let's talk about them in just a moment before we do that. Let's understand, that's the DOJ we live under now. That is our Department of Justice here in the United States of America. Sucks, but it is. What's a normal person supposed to do? What do we do when you live in a country like that? Well, maybe the most basic step everyone needs to do is to get an attorney on retainer. Get one on retainer. He's your attorney. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you have legal representation. That's what Attorneys for Freedom is. They will put an attorney on retainer. You always are covered legally, and this is a critical basic step for people on the right to take in this country. You cannot take these people on by yourself. You need a professional attorney that will help you navigate through things. And this is for normal people. You know, it's not for millionaires. Oh, somebody call my lawyer. This is for normal people. Go to attorneysonretainer.us, promo code Jesse, all right? Go, get a lawyer. We'll be back.
Here we can see a chart that looks at the total world population over the last several hundred years. And at first glance, this is a bit scary. We go from less than a billion in 1800, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7.4 billion where we are today. So we've taken that chart that shows the global population growth, and we've actually extended it out all the way to 2100. And we can see that instead of continuing, it actually flattens out. Now, 11 billion people, still a lot, but the good news is that the faster we improve health, the faster family size goes down.
Just think about that for a moment before we bring in Seamus. Just think about that. Imagine looking at a chart showing all that new life on Earth. Billions and billions and billions of people, more people alive, breathing, living their life. And imagine looking at that and thinking it's a bad thing and coming up with the plan to eliminate the problem. Telling you right now, the 21st century monsters are worse than the 20th century monsters. You just don't know it yet. Joining me now, Seamus Bruner. I bet you he knows it. He's the author of the book you should pick up if you want to know how these people think. It's called Controligarchs. I love that freaking name. Seamus, people do not understand how these people think. They haven't fully grasped it because he looks like a big nerd with glasses and the flowery music, and he's got, of course, the tables and charts. They don't understand how these people think, brother.
Yeah, no, that's right, Jesse. It's great to be with you. It's pretty scary when you read through, you know, hundreds of pages of manifestos and books from organizations like the World Economic Forum. You really do find that at the end of the day, they're pretty much anti-human. And, you know, that may not shock the savvy listeners of your show, but at the Government Accountability Institute, we follow the money, and we followed it all the way to the top. to organizations like Davos and men like Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg and Jeff Bezos. And what we found was pretty shocking. I mean, we found that in some cases they doubled their net worth over the course of the pandemic, certainly adding tens of billions of dollars to their personal net worth, like Bill Gates. The characters in the book, their personal net worth tops $1.2 trillion. That's a lot of money at their disposal. But we're capitalists, so we don't have any problems with making money. What really blew us away is what they're spending this money on, and it's seizing control of key industries that affect every aspect of your life. And so they you know, for energy, for example, they talk about climate change and wanting to fix climate change. But just imagine this scenario. You're in the middle of the night, you wake up as it's now winter, you're freezing, and you go to your thermostat, you try to turn up the heat, and you can't. You've been locked out. You don't have control over the temperature in your own home. Now, that may sound like conspiracy theory, but just ask the residents of Colorado and even Texas and the Communist Republic of California. They've all experienced scenarios in which their smart thermostats, you know, so-called smart, locked them out of their home. Now, they clicked I agree to one of the many I agree EULAs, and didn't realize that they wouldn't be able to change the temperature of their own home. So Amazon technology is making that possible. Google, Microsoft technology is making that possible. And then we looked at other industries too, the food industry, the information industry, et cetera. All of these have been taken control of just in the past few years.
Seamus, okay, so I'm trying to wrap my mind around this, and it's a very, very good read. I want people to read it to understand something. So the people who are seizing control, and in many cases have seized control of our energy, our food, and our medicine, are all the same people who are proud to admit on camera that the Earth's population should go down by billions. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, Jesse, you have that right. And it really goes back to, I mean, the World Economic Forum was founded by a lot of the same people who are part of this so-called Club of Rome. The Club of Rome, most people haven't heard of the Club of Rome, but it published back in the 60s a book called The Limits to Growth. And this was like the original climate manifesto, which they've changed the branding a few times. But the main thesis was that the Earth is overpopulated. If we have as many people as we have now, the Earth is going to end. That's what they said back in the 60s. Now, they realized that offing a couple billion people wasn't a very good marketing technique. And so they, you know, have changed it to global warming, global cooling. Eventually, they settle at climate change. And you can follow the manifestos from the Club of Rome right through today. They say that the limits of the growth holds true today. But now they've kind of put it under this climate change banner, which is unfalsifiable, is one of the key things to remember about climate change. You can't prove it wrong. So when they tell you trust the science on stuff like this, I mean, that's not science.
It's not science. How does any of this tie into Bill Gates buying up farmland? Every day you wake up, there's a new article about Bill Gates, the largest farm owner, Bill Gates buying farmland. I don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound good.
No, it's not good, Jesse. And we uncovered that basically Bill Gates is using a strategy that Microsoft employed in the 90s. It got it in trouble with antitrust regulators. The strategy, according to the Microsoft executives during the trial, was called Embrace, Extend, Extinguish, where Microsoft would kind of embrace this industry. The browser was the one in the 90s, the internet browser. They would extend their reach and they would put Internet Explorer software on every PC. And then eventually, once everybody had Internet Explorer, they would extinguish the competition. This was like Netscape browser. Bill Gates has adopted that. So right now he's in the embrace phase where he buys up more and more land. But next comes the extinguish phase, which is where he puts all the smallholder farmers out of business. Now there's this standard. It's called the Leading Harvest Standard. And of course, Bill Gates's farms are all on this standard. It claims to be sustainable and abiding by all the newest diktats of the climate change policies. But eventually, those regulations become too burdensome for the family-owned farms. It's using new types of fertilizer. This is how, you know, you see the Dutch farmers protesting, and in Canada, they're protesting these new standards that all Bill Gates's farms will use. But regular farmers, the ones who've been doing this for generations. I mean, nobody knows sustainability like a farmer. They know how to not, you know, use up all their resources and exhaust the resources. That's how they stay in business for generations. So Extinguish is coming, and it's very unfortunate.
He is Seamus Bruner. His book is called The Controligarchs. If you want to know who these people are, how they think, what their plans are, go pick it up. Seamus, I appreciate you very much. Go have a happy Thanksgiving. We have more. We have Argentina. What happened down there? Carol Roth is going to join us next. Should we even care? Who is this freaking guy? Before we get to Carol, let's do this. I know Thanksgiving is here, and so we're all going to be stuffing our fat faces this week, and we're going to get all kinds of nutrition this week, aren't we? From the meat and the potatoes and the veggies and the pumpkin pie, all kinds of vitamins and minerals and things like that. You know what's crazy to think about? Our dogs won't have any nutrition this week. In fact, they'll never get nutrition because our dogs eat dog food. There's no nutrition in dog food. It is dead. That's why it's brown. They purposely kill everything in it so it lasts longer on the shelf. Your dog never gets nutrition unless, of course, you pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. You pour it on your dog's food. One, your dog loves it. Two, your dog will live longer. You will see a difference in your dog. You don't have to take my word for it. Your dog's energy, his breath, his coat, his joints. Don't you feel better when you get nutrition? Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. That gets you a free jumpstart trial bag. All right? Or call them 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back.
¡Zurdos, hijos de p***, tiemblen! ¡La libertad avanza! ¡Viva la libertad, carajo! ¡Vamos!
All right. This is a new guy running things down in Argentina. Javier, I don't know how to say his name. Whatever, I'm not from Argentina. Everyone's all hot and bothered by this guy today. Let's see if all that's warranted. Joining me now, Carol Roth, author of the book You Will Own Nothing. Find out about these dirty NWO scum and what they're doing to this country. I should note that that book is still sitting on my son, my 15-year-old son's night table. That's how much he even enjoys it. Carol, all right, who is this guy? Why should I give a crap?
I mean, don't you love having a guy that comes out and is sweating and is all excited and is hitting a pinata of the central bank? Isn't that who everybody wants to lead their country? Cult of personality, where angry things aren't going well. We need to shake things up. And this guy, if nothing else, is going to try to shake things up. I don't know how much you know about Argentinian economics, Jesse. Everybody has become a huge expert in the last, 12 to 24 hours. But, this is a country that is very unusual. In fact, a famous economist once said there are four types of economies in the world. There are the developed countries, there are the emerging markets, there's Japan, and there's Argentina. So it's been kind of this weird microcosm. They were really rich in the early 1900s, but cronyism, welfare states, wars, all kinds of issues have just put them in this constant cycle of poverty. And, they went from sort of the 10th wealthiest country in the world to like number 62. And it's like Groundhog's Day. They just keep having the same crisis over and over because the government keeps overspending. So finally, you've got a situation where they have not quite hyperinflation. It's called galloping inflation, about 120%+ a year. They have about 40% of their, 40% of their country is living in poverty. And when I say poverty, I'm talking real, like cannot feed your kids the next day, not I have an iPhone and designer clothes kind of poverty. This got to the breaking point where they said we needed to have a new leader. And so you have this guy who wants to get rid of the central bank. He wants to actually dollarize, meaning get rid of their currency and peg it to the dollar, which, we're all mad at the Fed. Things are so bad there that they actually want the Fed to mandate their policy, balance the budget, go back to lots of free market principles, which sounds great in theory, is certainly the change that they need, but it is going to be a tough road for Mr. Milei.
Okay, it's a tough road. Let's talk about that, Carol. This sounds like a country that's been rotting from the inside for quite some time. I'm hopeful. I'm hoping for them, right? I'm hopeful, right. But can one man really come in and turn this thing around? I want to believe that can be the case, but historically, they normally just kill guys like this.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm on the side of skepticism and realism. It's certainly the charge that they need. But, you know, this is a country that's been bailed out by the IMF almost 24 times, and they have never been able to make the changes they need in terms of, you know, getting their budgets back on track and stopping with their money printing. And the way that Argentina, from what I understand, is set up is that the regions, which are kind of like our states, have a lot of power, make a lot of decisions. So I don't know if he at the federal level will be able to do all the things that he campaigned on and wanted to do and overcome the corruption and overcome, you know, this crazy history. But it is a parallel, right? I mean, we know another country that is overspending and damaging the currency and, you know, rotting, as you said, from the inside. And eventually you get to a breaking point where people say enough is enough. They certainly have done that in Argentina. So we'll see if that's a lesson for anywhere else in the world, wherever that might be, Jesse.
Wherever that might be. Speaking of the devil, Janet Yellen went on TV, had this to say, Carol.
Prices in general are rising much less quickly. Americans still see increases in some important prices, including food, from where we were prior to the pandemic. And this remains notable to people who go to the store and shop, or rents, although they're rising less quickly now, are certainly higher than they were before the pandemic. So I do think we're making considerable progress in bringing inflation down, but Americans do notice higher prices from what they used to be accustomed to.
Carol, are we making significant progress? It doesn't feel like it when I get groceries.
Derp, they're noticing that prices are significantly higher than they used to be. I mean, this is the head of the Treasury. This used to be the head of the Fed. This is a woman in the interim who made $7+ million in giving speeches on the economy. Let me give you my best analogy here, Jesse. Basically, let's say you had a constant weight. You were able to hold your weight constant for some period of time. And then 1 year, you gained 10 pounds. Well, the doctor says you got to do something about this. So the next year, you gain 3.5 pounds. The doctor doesn't go, oh, look, the rate that you were gaining weight has slowed. Good job. He goes, no, you're up 13.5 pounds. You can't fit in your pants. You're a fatso. Stop it. That's what she's excited about. She's excited that now you're only gaining 3.5 pounds, except that it's not your weight, it's your wallet. And instead of getting fatter, it is getting slimmer. These ridiculous elitist economists, they want to pat themselves on the back because they have slowed inflation. But what Americans care about is how much they have to pay. And it is now up double digits from the time that Joe Biden took office and that this devil, as you said, made her way into the Treasury. And there is no real plan to change that scenario so that people feel like their financial foundation is on better footing.
Oh, I think they do have a plan, Carol. I'm going to push back on that. I think their plan is to bloodsuck the American people for every dime they have. And I think that's what was really behind these 87,000 new IRS agents, because God knows the government's not going to look around and tighten their belts. They're just going to come leech off of us some more.
That's fair. Yeah, they don't have a plan to fix things, but they have a plan to absolutely crush and decimate the middle class. And this is something that you and I have been warning about by multiple years. I mean, how absolutely absurd that they come out in 2021 with something called the American Rescue Plan. And in it, they say if you do a $600 payment on Venmo or PayPal, or you sell something on eBay and cumulatively, you know, it's showing $600 worth of transactions, That's now going to have to run through the IRS. This is not going after billionaires. This is not going after the ultra wealthy that are doing $600 Venmo payments. This is going after average Americans. And let's say you threw a party and a bunch of people paid you back, and that was more than $600. Now, if you don't report that because you didn't need to, then they may say, well, we saw, you know, based on your 1099K that you owe us money. Then you have to go hire an accountant or a lawyer to fight this, and it's going to end up being more than the penalty, and so you're just going to pay it. So they're going to nickel and dime the American public at a time, by the way, that Joe Biden is running around touting how they want to get rid of junk fees. Well, what about the junk taxes that they're throwing on average Americans after they have completely decimated their financial standing and their personal balance sheets? It is absolutely disgusting. And as you said, it's highly intentional.
Yeah, highly intentional. Carol, thank you so much. You have a happy Thanksgiving. If we don't talk before then, I will talk to you soon. All right. We have lightened the mood finally. It's a birthday. Somebody's birthday. We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, I know that it's Thanksgiving week, and you're probably sitting around wondering, Black Friday this and Black Friday that, what should I get, what should I get? You know that Chalk, their Black Friday sale has already begun now. When I tell you about all the endless natural herbal supplements from the anti-communists at Chalk, maybe you've gone to the website, maybe you've been looking, oh, I want that, oh, I wish I was on a male vitality stack, I wish I had some chocolate powder, honey, should we get this? And maybe you've been thinking, I want to wait till there's a sale. Now's the sale. Black Friday time. Go to Chalk.com, use the promo code JesseTV, all right? JesseTV. I've been waiting. Female vitality stacks and male vitality stacks and the new Chad mode pre-workout. It's all on sale. Chalk.com, promo code JesseTV. We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And look, everything has to be heavy, right? Political and combative these days. Sometimes it just pays to celebrate something. Doesn't it feel good to sit back and celebrate something every now and then? So, without further ado, let us celebrate Joe Biden's 81st birthday. Happy birthday, Joe.
And by the way, it's my birthday today, and they can actually sing birthday music.
I see. I'm just following my orders here.
Never met before. We are a community that relies on family, on Ohana, whether by the...
Anyway. The best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to, anyway.
Of Putin's kleptocracy, yeah.
And Joan Shingang, I'm going to pass her, Shanga.
End of quote. Repeat the line.
Biden's being Biden's being an extremist. America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was in the foothills of the Himalayas with Xi Jinping.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Alan. Happy birthday to you. Well.
Happy birthday, Joe. I'll see you.
This is an iHeart podcast.